It's Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM, if you're streaming us live, and, of course, the Liberty Radio Network affiliates all over the place if you're getting us over the airwaves. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, that is, and if you want to contact me via Skype, virtually anytime, you can leave a printed message. You can also contact us via voice during the program. It's Gardner.Goldsmith on Skype. That's Gardner.Goldsmith on Skype. LibertyConspiracy at Yahoo is the email address. And if you want to call us, the phone number is 603-835-3360. 603-835-3360. The website is LibertyConspiracy.com. It's time for us to give you a quick news update. And then a little bit later on tonight, I'm going to give you another historical piece from one of our pals in the libertarian history, the great heritage of libertarian thought that has been handed down to us to hand on to others, to add to and amplify, because hopefully you are a person who's inquisitive about freedom and interested in trying to expand the purviews of individual initiative and the moral use of one's own time. And we are the same. So we're going to be talking about Lysander Spooner a little bit later in the show. But right now, I've got a quick news update. I've got a big news update for you. So let's get started. We begin with news actually about the world, but it's also about our website. It's kind of weird. It has to do with the fact that the Liberty Conspiracy website, as has been reported by someone who was in this country, has been banned. This is the news. The big news for people who visit our website and people who support us as part of the cabal, who donate to us and get our podcasts out there, who chat with us in the forum or contact me on Facebook and give me items that turn out to be really good to put over on our website or in the show. Some of these folks know it. If you follow me on Twitter, at Gard Goldsmith on Twitter, you've gotten the news as well. But it is definitely confirmed that the Chinese government has banned the Liberty Conspiracy website. I didn't know I'd get to play this awful song again. One of the worst songs ever done from that new wave pop rock sort of thing that emerged in the around 81, 82, 83. You know, sort of soft rock, but it had a new wavy sound, but it was sort of like, what? This, who left the toast out in the rain, man? Who left the cake out in the rain? I'll never have that recipe again, man. MacArthur Park, dude. Yeah, this is China by the Red Rockers, and they were avowed communists who loved China. They just thought the country was totally great. Evidently, the millions of people who were murdered through various regimes in the Chinese People's Republic of China government, so the various versions of it, that didn't seem to dawn on these guys. So they've got a soft focus, bad video that is now on YouTube and used to get played on MTV, where all the Chinese ladies are, I don't even know, they probably shot it in, like, you know, California or something like that, but they all look, you know, very Anglo in a way. And of course the guys in the band have that stupid, you know, thin tie thing and bad jacket deal. Ugh. This is so bad. I remember Jason Richardson, my producer of a WGIR, man. What a great dude. He was great. We found the piece, right? And back then when we were doing the show, it was 2005. So YouTube hadn't really started up yet, and there wasn't a lot that was available. It was just starting off. So a lot of songs weren't on there. So I would have to find these songs. I'd have to download these songs. And then I'd have to make discs and put the segments on there and say, okay, Jason, this is going to be a music drop. It's going to be an issue theme. And I had a whole list of issue themes. And then he would take those songs and he'd put them into the audio. At first, we'd have to do them off a CD. And then he'd put them into the audio recording and editing system. called Cool Edit, which is now called Adobe Audition. That's where I do all my editing and stuff. So he'd have them all queued up. It was awesome. I was like, oh, man. So anytime I'd say China, you'd hear this, China, China, meow, 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 meow. Oh, man. And then he took me mimicking the song. So it could sound like I was really stupid. And then at one point, I was, oh, Jason Richardson, man. Okay, so that's the story. The story is that, and you can find it at libertyconspiracy.com, the Chinese government has evidently banned our website in that country. You can't get it. And if you do go to libertyconspiracy.com, you'll find that... As we mentioned, one of our fellow conspirators who has done a great podcast with us, he has a fantastic website himself, which is called A Beginner's Guide to Freedom. It's a blog spot. You just look up A Beginner's Guide to Freedom. Stephen Smith, he does a lot of international traveling, and Stephen emailed me to let me know that it's banned. It's blocked in China. You can't get it. And I'm sure it's, you know, one of many websites, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of websites that the Chinese government blocks because of the name, or, you know, maybe they know the content. I don't know. But in order to try to fix this sort of thing, that means we got to try to go to the Chinese embassy, contact congressmen, and try to get people to lobby. And it's just like, oh, man, what a hassle. This is so stupid that you can't trust people to just look at little images on a screen or something like that, or listen, since there's an embedded player at Liberty Conspiracy. So I posted this on Facebook, and I posted it on Twitter. Jackie Feist, fellow conspirator, she's like, yeah, man, it means you made it. And my buddy Malcolm was like, dude, cool. And it's kind of, I have sort of mixed feelings, because I think it's like, well, that's kind of interesting. And at first you sort of think like, wow, kind of cool. But then you're like, well, yeah, but the government's blocking all these people from the stuff we're making. Like, we can't get our stuff to those people. So actually, it really sucks. It's not good. I mean, it's like, it shouldn't feed... You know, it shouldn't. It's just not good at all. So I also spoke to Glenn Jacobs about this. We were emailing back and forth. Glenn was on the phone with me. We were talking on the phone, and I was getting the emails from Stephen, and Stephen was up, so we were writing back, and I said, "Oh, Stephen, you know, I have Glenn on the line, or I was just off the line with Glenn, or something." And Glenn mentioned that he's been to Shanghai. Stephen was in the area, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "Guard, the way that some of the hotels." Are actually better than outside the hotels, because I said, is that because they have, you know, Westerners there? And he goes, yeah, that's clearly what it is. They want the Westerners to think that they have access, but the average people in China, they're not going to go into the hotels. I'm like, man, they ought to go into the friggin' hotels, you know. But anyway, you go to an internet cafe or something like that in Shanghai, and you can't get the Liberty Conspiracy. You're home, you can't get it. Then Stephen contacted me, and he said, yeah, there is a difference in the hotels, and it either he thinks it is, or he found out it is, one or the other, but it sounds very sensible either way. He said, it seems like some of the hotels connect with ISPs that are in Hong Kong or Japan. So it gives those are the ones that have more ready access to a lot of wider variety of websites. So there you go. Now, interestingly, Stephen also mentioned that the podcasts are still available. You can still get the Liberty Conspiracy podcasts in China. So that was kind of wild. I was like, oh, man, okay. So because, like, the really hardcore content is in the podcast. I mean, that's, like, real anarchist content. And, of course, you know, we have swearing on some of the podcasts. We have goofy jokes. We have intense punk rock music and stuff like that. So I think that's really interesting that the podcasts themselves are squeaking by through iTunes and Podomatic. But the actual website, Liberty Conspiracy, maybe it's because of the title. But the podcasts have the same title, right? So I don't know, you guys apply your minds to it. Get on into the forum if you want to. Find me on Twitter. It's Guard Goldsmith on Twitter. And while I have the opportunity, as I'm giving you this quick news update sort of thing, I wanted to mention two other things during this first segment. One is that Ferb has a terrific piece that's up at the top of the website. It's great. I'm going to read you a little bit. It's just excellent. It's about the potential of attacking Syria. And the other is, in fact, I'll mention this at the beginning of the next segment. My friend Jason Brock's short story collection is out, and I want to tell you about it. I'll tell you about the title and how to find it when we return. We return, Liberty Conspiracy Radio, LG Grande, Buenos whatever. Good to have you here. All that stuff. All right, always good to come in after the gang who are the backbone of the Liberty Radio Network, the Free Talk Live gang. And very interesting, I was listening to Derek's interview in the top of the news thing. Derek is awesome, man. Just some great people working in real, true libertarian circles. Activists and scholars. Scholars who don't do activism. People who get involved with the political side to try to reduce the size of government. Very, very cool, especially if you connect with the Free State Project. Really, really interesting people from all walks of life. I hope you check out the Free State Project and what they're doing to allow folks to live to their fullest potential without the regulatory burdens and interference of other people who call themselves politicians and claim that they represent them. Now, another very interesting guy and just an amazing talent is a guy I mentioned just before our commercials, and I want to make sure that I bring this up to you. If you get the opportunity, the day before yesterday, I had lunch with my friend Jason Brock, and you might have heard Jason on our program a couple times. Jason was on talking about Richard Matheson. He has volumes of knowledge about the amazing talents of people like Richard Matheson, Ray Bradbury, Robert Bloch, Forry Ackerman, people like Bill Nolan, good friends, Charles Beaumont. His company, J. Sunny Productions, has produced all sorts of great documentaries, and the one on Charles Beaumont, who was a fire in the sky, traveling through the heavens and just burned out much too early, was a terrific short story writer and script writer for Twilight Zone. He's the one who wrote that script for The Howling Man. Amazing, amazing stuff. Jason is just so steeped in that stuff, and he is a talent himself. His new short story collection, I want to make sure I mention it right off the bat to you. I hope you don't mind, everybody. But not only is Jason a friend, but he's brilliant. I mean, this guy is a brilliant, brilliant talent. And he has a short story collection called Simulacrum. That's S-I-M-U-L-A-C-R-U-M, Simulacrum. And Jason V. Brock is the man. I hope you'll go to Amazon.com and check this out. It's short stories, and in between the short stories, he has many poems. And his poems are awesome. I mean, he really knows what he's doing with poetry. And his short stories are straight out of Richard Matheson. Bill Nolan's got an amazing introduction on here. And I'm grateful to Jason also for having gotten to know Bill. And Sonny is terrific. So I had lunch with those guys the other day, and they actually came to my town after a massive weekend celebration of H.P. Lovecraft. And it was called the Necronomicon, C-O-N, of course, for convention. And it was down in Providence, Rhode Island, and basically the whole city was just Lovecraft. It celebrated Lovecraft. There were tons of people at this convention. It was huge. Laird Barron, S.T. Joshi, Jason and Sonny, Dan O'Bannon's widow. Dan O'Bannon, of course, is the scriptwriter who wrote Alien. Filmmakers. It was amazing. They even had a giant Cthulhu. I didn't know this. I had no idea about this. They had a Cthulhu rise up out of the bay in Providence, around, like, what the heck, dude? Whoa. So, very, very cool. So, anyway, remember, Simulacrum, that is Jason's short story collection, and I hope you'll check it out. I'll tell you more about Jason's writing in a little while. Now, let's get back to our news update. I hope I covered the Chinese government's ban on the Liberty Conspiracy website sufficiently. I want to get to some of the breaking stories that might pertain to a lot of people's lives and their bottom lines and their wallets and their safety. Hey, here's a theme for you. What's this? I mean, it's the six-minute-long epic from Leiden and Bambata. It is! It's time zone! This is a wild destruction. Your life ain't nothing. A human race is becoming a disgrace. Countries are fighting in chemical warfare. Giving a damn about the people who live there. Yes, folks. World Destruction, the name of the song, the one-off EP from Time Zone, John Lydon and Afrika Bambaataa.
Won't stand in the way of the assignment boss. The CIA is looking for all detectives. The KGB is smarter than you think.
Awesome. Okay, so what are we going to do? Let's talk about the latest in what's going on with Syria, right? Okay. I've got a lot of information here. Later in the program, we're going to be talking about the regulatory state and, raw milk, folks. A great piece from Ben Swan, benswan.com. We'll give you that information. Also, the regulatory state and the FAA and how those regulations, the new regulations they're going to be applying, could make it more difficult for you to get lower price flights out of non-hub cities, smaller cities. That's a big deal. And we've got another piece of information about the medical fascism bill, and it confirms exactly what we've been trying to warn people about regarding the plan of the government to try to siphon off young people out of the roles from insurance companies. And we'll tell you about that in a little bit. But first off, let's give you this information. Let's start off with one of the first people that I think really debuted this piece of information on Tuesday, as Barack Obama and his horde of whores in politics, and you know, the Republicans are essentially no different, with just a couple exceptions on both sides of the map. That's why people, I think, who are consistent on their politics and philosophy tend to trend towards libertarianism or anarchism. The folks at the Whited Sepulchre had a piece that I thought was pretty good. It was one of these little meme things, and they said, "Meet the guy who is standing up to Obama on Syria." And some of you have probably already seen this already, but I thought it would be a nice way to open this section of the program. Here is the quote. "The president does not have the power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to the nation." And in fact, that isn't even right, but it's a little bit closer to right. And it came from candidate Barack Obama on December 20th, 2007, as quoted from Boston.com. And Ben Swan did it first. So then the folks at White Sepulchre picked it up. So good job, Ben Swan. I didn't even realize that. Ben Swan's great. And it's two N's on the end of his name. So that's Barack Obama, and that isn't even constitutional, but it's a little closer, at least, to the way it's supposed to go. Now let's go to some information that I thought was probably pretty important. Remember how I said that the al-Nusra Front folks had been nailed with sarin gas? They hadn't been hit themselves, but they had been caught by the Turkish authorities. And it was a member of the al-Nusra Front that was caught in a photograph with John McCain, right? Well, I'm going to read to you a piece from ANI News that was quoted from Yahoo News back in January out of London about the Obama administration's plan to try to use chemical weapons and make it look like Assad was doing it. And we don't know either way, but I want you to have the information. We'll return.
Right.
We continue at Liberty Conspiracy Radio. Thanks for being part of the conspiracy. And if you want to find some really cool Liberty Conspiracy merchandise, I hope you'll go to Armor for Activists. That's the numactivists.com. And the individual who has some pretty good artistic skills who created that website has stuff for a lot of liberty-oriented websites. And Liberty Conspiracy is one. I think you can find the little tab on the left. You click on it, and then you see some really neat T-shirt designs. You can get the designs put on bags and mugs and things like that. And I think it's cool. I haven't seen, and I don't care to see any money either way. I think it says on the site that money goes to the various websites and everything. I haven't seen anything yet, and it doesn't matter to me. I just like the designs, and I hope the person who designed those things, very nice girl, that she gets to keep everything. So if you like the designs, check them out. I think you'll really enjoy them and wear them with pride. Okay? Right? They say pride cometh before the fall. Well, you know, we're the ones who are down in the dirt working. And by the way, talking about working, before I get to this story about Syria from January that really starts to shed some troubling light on the Obama administration, as if they could be believed anyway. I just want to thank my brother and the team of folks who are working with my brother, a small group of people, on fixing up, doing a project on some fix-up stuff. And occasionally I get to go down and help my brother out and my friend Malcolm and stuff. And we work on this old house. Not this old house like PBS, you know. Where I always thought it was pretty funny, the hosts were always like interrupting Norm Abram on This Old House. I know I'm diverging from the point, but it'd be, you know, like Norm would be there and, you know, they'd have the camera and like they'd be doing something like, you know, laying grouting or something, you know, laying tile, putting the grouting in. And then Bob Vila would come in and he'd be like, oh, hey, Norm, what are you doing? And you could just sort of tell like, oh, hi, Bob. Because Bob was going to be like, oh, hey, can I try that? And you knew he was going to mess it up. You know, it's like, oh, okay, Bob, sure, come on. You know, like they'd have to do his work again. He's slowing him down. So they're like, oh, yeah, go ahead, Bob. And then Bob would show him, yeah, you know, it's a mess. You know, it's like, hey, I've never done that, but I never laid grouting like that before. You think I can give that a try? Like, all right, Bob, fine. And now we're going to go into the master bedroom and see what's happening there. Whoa, there's the husband and wife. Well, in the master bedroom. I didn't realize they were in there doing that. Hi, Bob. Hey, sorry to interrupt you. You know, I've never done that before. You think I could give it a try? No, not this time, Bob. So we're taking care of this old house thing. And, oh, my God, man. Like, I still have like soot and crap in my eyes. Just unbelievable. We did all this work on this, pulling down it wasn't drywall stuff. It wasn't like plasterboard stuff. It was like old wooden rail things, and they had applied plaster on it from like the 1950s. And so you're pulling each little rail thing down, and it's got just decades of dust and crap and, you know, mouse crap and just, oh man. So my arms, literally, I told Ferb, I was talking to him on the phone a little bit earlier, and don't forget, check out Ferb's great blog on the Syria thing, but it's over at libertyconspiracy.com. Unless you're in China, sorry, we'll work on it for you, okay? But anyway, China, Red Rockers. Ugh. I think the lead singer of the Red Rockers, did he commit suicide? I think he might have killed himself. Yeah, that's too bad. But anyway, so my arms looked like they had like Nestle Quick or whatever they call it, Nesquik now, like chocolate powder poured on them. And then it had conformed to my muscles with the sweat, and it was just disgusting. I walked into the store. I looked like Alice Cooper. I had these like black marks all over my face, and I was totally, every part of my body was just covered with sweat because it was like 90 degrees working in this thing. And I was carrying down these trash baskets of stuff and throwing them out. And then my brother was pulling all this stuff down. And the masks, man, they weren't even stopping everything. Like the stuff we were breathing in, especially my brother, because he was right in there, man. Like, Pete, you know, make sure you get some fresh air in, brother, okay? But anyway, great to work with those guys. My brother's a great guy. And, of course he's great, you know? What do you expect? Hey, you know. So, all right, I want to go to this story, and he listens to our podcast, by the way. So it shows you how cool you are if you're doing the same thing as my brother. See? or how cool he is. He's doing the same thing as you. See, there you go. Okay, now this will indicate to you how nefarious the Obama administration is. By the way, I read a headline somewhere and I couldn't find the article, so I'm just going to put this out there. It's only idle speculation. But I read a headline that when John Kerry gave his little speech on Sunday, you know, and he claimed that even though there was no evidence, it was very clear that the Assad regime did the chemical weapons attack. They didn't even know whether it was chemical weapons, but it was a chemical weapons attack, and it was the Assad regime. Even though it would be the worst possible thing, the dumbest thing for Assad to do, and it would basically be a suicide move by him, it was proven, and the United States was going on morals and all this other stuff. Yeah, okay, fine. And I'll talk to you about moral in just a minute with a great question that Tim from Australia brought up to us on Facebook, on my Facebook page. But remember this story from January 30th, which was published in London, ANI, and republished by Yahoo. And it was kept on file by whom? Paul Joseph Watson and the team at InfoWars under, of course, Alex Jones. Okay? London, January 30th, the headline: U.S.-backed plan to launch chemical weapon attack on Syria, blame it on Assad government. The report: the Obama administration gave green sign. Yeah, the Obama administration gave green signal to a chemical weapons attack plan in Syria that could be blamed on President Bashar al-Assad's regime, and in turn spur international military action in the devastated country, leaked documents have shown. I stumbled on it because there's an A missing in there. So I want to go through this again. The Obama administration gave a green signal, I'm putting that in, to a chemical weapons attack plan in Syria that could be blamed on President Bashar al-Assad's regime and in turn spur international military action in the devastated country, leaked documents have shown. A new report that contains an email exchange between two senior officials at British-based contractor Britam, that's B-R-I-T-A-M, Britam Defense, showed a scheme, quote, approved by Washington. As per the scheme, Qatar would fund rebel forces in Syria to use chemical weapons, the Daily Mail reports. Barack Obama made it clear to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad last month that the U.S. would not tolerate Syria using chemical weapons against his own people, against its own people. According to Infowars.com, the December 25th email was sent from Britain's business development director David Goulding to company founder Philip Doughty. The emails were released by a Malaysian hacker who also obtained senior executives' resumes and copies of passports via an unprotected company server, according to Cyber War News. Now, take it for what that is, but they got other things to try to back up what they were saying. According to the paper, the Daily Mail, the U.S. State Department has declined to comment on the matter. Okay, now, let's go to WorldNet Daily and Prison Planet. This is also InfoWars guys. In an interview with Alex Jones, American author and political commentator Dr. Jerome Corsi confirmed the rebels were behind the sarin gas attack in Syria last week. Video evidence and reliable Middle Eastern sources on the ground prove Syrian rebels launched the attack in an attempt to take over the Syrian government. He believes if the, and by the way, this attack was done in an area that Assad controls. It wasn't done in the rebel stronghold. Okay? And what's very interesting about it, as has been brought up again on InfoWars by Paul Craig Roberts, who was the economic advisor to Ronald Reagan, Paul Craig Roberts reports that because of the Russians and Chinese blocking flyovers in the UN, the United States set up this attack to shift public opinion in the UN so that they could do these bombs. We'll get more information, try to balance this out both ways when we return.
She's the champion of self-reliance, a surgeon, just where the knife is. see their crimes and shits with balls and they let her lie. She claims she's working for the Lord, but you know what she's looking for. She knows a parasite. She hates everyone, she knows no one. She knows a parasite. She knows a parasite. She knows a parasite. She knows a parasite. Send her back across the sea. Back across the sea.
Continuing at Liberty Conspiracy Radio on LRN.FM. Hey, I was reading a Facebook post by my friend, author Tim Leben, who's over in the UK, and he was listing some of his favorite live albums. And, of course, he listed HARP, H-A-A-R-P, the term coined by Tesla. And that's a live album by Muse. So I thought, yeah, man, that is definitely one of the best live albums of all time. It is insane. And I would also rank up their Final Damnation by the Damned, because that one is like, holy smoke, it's amazing, it's great. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, nice to have you along for the ride. Let's continue talking about this serious story. I want to give you a lot of the data that I've been collecting, getting from other folks who have been collecting them, pieces of data, the datums. And if we have the opportunity, I want to play for you a little bit of, not a lot, because I want to attract you to go to the YouTube page for Alex Jones. A little bit of what Alex Jones got from Paul Craig Roberts. Very interesting what Paul Craig Roberts had to say. And right now I want to turn. There are a lot of threads that need to be brought together that have occurred over the past year or so. And in fact, they were starting to rattle their sabers almost 2 years ago. Glenn Jacobs and I, when we got together 2 years ago and had dinner with Freddie Prinze, and that was in L.A., we were talking about this stuff, and then we went to another restaurant a little bit later, and it was run by a guy who did Middle Eastern food and stuff, and he was telling us, you know, what you're getting from the pop media in the U.S. about Syria is not the real deal. It was quite interesting. So WorldNet Daily has some interesting stuff. Jerome Corsi, remember, he was involved. He's been involved with political commentating for a long time. He confirmed that rebels were behind the sarin gas attack in Syria last week. Video evidence and reliable Middle Eastern sources on the ground prove Syrian rebels launched the attack in an attempt to take over the Syrian government. Now, me reading this, you know, those are just words. How do we back this up? Well, Jerome Corsi believes that if the United States moves towards war with Syria, it will surely result in World War III. A lot of people are talking about that, and let me just mention some of this speculation. I don't necessarily think that it's reckless or idle. It certainly isn't idle. Some of these people are very concerned about this. I don't think it's going to get that big, but it certainly could be a very, very bad situation. The reason I don't think it's going to get that big is because the Chinese hold trillions of dollars still. They got rid of 70% of their U.S. treasuries, but they still owe tons. They still own tons of U.S. treasuries, the long-term treasuries. They haven't been buying the short-term treasuries. Only the Federal Reserve's been doing that. Now, they've been buying like 90% of the U.S. treasuries. They are the ones who are inventing money to keep the government and its war machine and its welfare machine afloat, and its regulatory machine afloat. We'll tell you about the regulations in a minute. That, of course, being fascism. But it's interesting because the World War III speculation, that the Chinese have so much debt of the United States that if they want to shake a little bit, the U.S. government's in a lot of trouble. That being said, I don't think that's going to stop Barack Obama from doing what he wants to do in Syria. And also, just to let you know, was it Richard Clark? There was a military commander who has since left. I think it might have been Richard Clark. I'll try to confirm the information in a little bit. Who noted that he was shown top secret documents that showed that the United States inner circle within the CIA and the National Security Agency and the Wolfowitz guys and the Obama guys have signed on to this completely. They had planned on taking over eight nations that include Syria, Libya, eventually Iran. And, yeah, Gary Vaughn goes, yeah, sweetie. He says, you mean Barack, sweetie, Obama. That's right. And Barack, sweetie, Obama has signed onto this completely. Gary just sent me an instant message through Facebook. Funny. So, yeah. So this goes way back. And this is not something that is just purely a Republican thing. It's not something that's a Democrat thing. It's something that is happening with certain interests that are connected to the campaign for New American Century. They're the ones who started this plan. And it does, I have to tell you, it does have humongous backing from certain sources, like the Rockefellers and others. And also, just to let you know, and again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy because I think this is just the way that governments start to trend anyway, towards expansion, towards warfare, and towards welfareism, things like that. But when we had an interview over almost 2 years ago with Jazz Coleman of Killing Joke, and I think I mentioned this once on the radio before, my buddy Malcolm and I sat down with him. We were sitting down with Jazz for an hour and a half. And we just talked to Jazz Coleman. He was hanging out. Jazz Coleman is a very successful symphonic composer in addition to being one of the founding members of Killing Joke, one of the preeminent punk bands of all time. Jazz Coleman is opposed to this New World Order, IMF stuff, and he's very much into conspiracy stuff, right? He told us, he says, look, I know these guys. I'm on those levels. He, just to give you an example, Jazz Coleman now owns an island off the coast of New Zealand. He's very wealthy. He's done a very good job managing his money. He was the composer in residence for the Prague Philharmonic, the New Zealand Philharmonic. His uncle was one of the prime ministers of India. So he comes from a pretty high level. When he was 13, he won a symphonic composition contest before he even founded Killing Joke. And he was squatting in a home when, 18 years of age, working with the Clash in the same house in this place called Ladbroke Grove, all the punks. So he went the punk direction for a while. But he said, I know these guys. They really do want to reduce the size of the population by a third. They really do want to control the food supply. They really do want to have a one-world government. They really do want to have a cadre of drone blue-collar workers who will be made ignorant through the public school system. They really do want to drug people. He says, one of the guys in our band, he takes care of paintings. He touches up paintings for these guys, like classic paintings for these guys in their homes. And they believe these things. So he was warning us as we're sitting there, and he does it in his concerts. So if people think that Barack Obama is going to be somehow different than the Bush administration, and they haven't had their eyes opened yet, I don't know what will. Now, that being said, we need to provide more evidence, because on the other side of it, we're hearing today that the CIA, through Israel, are claiming that they have a communication that indicates and proves, no, it proves that the Syrian government was behind this chemical weapons attack. Okay? Now remember, on Sunday, Minister for England, Mr. Hague, said they might never get any evidence because they'd already started bombing. They might have destroyed the evidence in their bombing campaigns. Right? John Kerry, when he spoke just shortly after the attacks, and we have heard that he already had his comments prepared a week before. This is one of the headlines I read. And again, I don't want to be just speculating myself, but these guys, look, check this out. John McCain met with members of the Al-Nusra Front in Turkey months ago. Members of the Al-Nusra Front were arrested. 12 of them were arrested by the Turkish police for possessing sarin gas. This is confirmed. John McCain, and you can see the picture on libertyconspiracy.com in Ferb's blog. John McCain is in a photograph in Turkey with one of the leaders of Al-Nusra Front, which is the one that's connected, the faction in Syria that is connected to Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And yet it's Al-Qaeda that supposedly the United States government is pulling your money and your children's money away to destroy. You know, by killing innocent people and droning them and stuff like that. So this is very, very dangerous. We mentioned that in January. The London Daily Mail reported that there were documents that revealed the Obama administration, sweetie, was working with or had given the approval for Qatar to start giving chemical weapons to these guys. Okay? Now, again, but on the other side, they're claiming, and you only have the government's claim, they're claiming that they've got information that shows that the Assad regime was behind it, right? It depends whom you want to believe. We'll return next hour. We have a bunch more issues to get into and even more information about the serious stuff. Very important stuff. We'll get right to it. Liberty Conspiracy Radio. Radio, LRN.FM. Thanks for being part of the gang, everybody. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. The website is, of course, libertyconspiracy.com. You can follow me if you want on Twitter as Gard Goldsmith on Twitter. And I hope you will continue to listen to us, whether you're listening to us live or in podcast form. You can find the podcast at Podomatic and at iTunes and embedded in our player at libertyconspiracy.com. We have like the latest 20 or something like that. So check it out. And while you're there, I hope you'll also check out the blog post, the second very, very good blog post by Ferb. This one is about the U.S. saber rattling over Syria. So I want to continue talking about that and maybe refer to Ferb's post occasionally. But if you heard the top of the hour news, one of the things that was mentioned in the top of the hour news was actually something I was leading into for this hour. You know, it's up to you to try to sift through. It's up to all of us to try to sift through this information clearly. If I can try to document it verbally to you and make references to things where you can find some of these pieces, like the January 30th information from the Daily Mail, and then, you know, whether or not you believe the source that got that for the Daily Mail, the editors there clearly thought so, that it was believable, or you feel that you should trust the U.S. government and what they're claiming, but they don't actually have anything to show anybody yet, it's up to you. To me, I don't trust the government. One of the many reasons I don't trust the government on this is because it has already been reported that, it was Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark mentioned this, that the U.S. CIA, the NSA, and a lot of other folks from the Bush administration and the Obama administration have had plans for a long time to overthrow the governments in not just 7, but 8 countries. That according to Wesley Clark, and from other sources, and of course documents that were produced before the administration are very similar to this, that have come from the Campaign for a New American Century, Paul Wolfowitz, and the Bushies, and Dick Cheney, and all that gang. Okay, so we know that they have had this plan. It's some grandiose idea that if we can try to figure out why they're doing it, maybe they think that it's going to make things safer for the United States. They have worked with a lot of Israeli interests. Maybe the Israeli interests think that it'll be safer for Israel. I don't know. I don't care whether it's Israel and, you know, the so-called term Zionism or whatever it is. It's just bad mojo. It's not constitutional if you want to work on the constitutional realm, and it's certainly not moral. Another reason I don't believe the CIA or the U.S. government or anything in the claims that they're making yet, until they actually show empirical evidence or there's an admission from someone who had something to do with it, and there's a lot more empirical evidence to show that people who have been backed by the U.S. federal government are the ones who have been caught so far with chemical agents, that being the Al-Nusra Front, and the folks that John McCain partially met with in Turkey, those guys have actually been cited. And there is video footage of U.S.-backed militants in Syria using, or looks like launching chemical weapons and making claims about having done so. And we have this information from January 30th that was posted in the British Daily Mail, the London Daily Mail, that indicates that there were communiques from the United States and Qatar to supply chemical weapons to some of these guys and then make it look like Assad was using these things, which would give them a pretext for going in and overthrowing Assad, as conforms to the plans that Wesley Clark has mentioned, that we know that they had already outlined in the Campaign for a New American Century to overthrow these governments. They did it in Libya. So is there anything that is out of the pattern that we have seen with these nefarious characters, some of them on the surface, some of them hidden in the United States government, in the NSA, in the CIA? No, there is not. Okay, now, as I mentioned, on the conspiratorialist side, people like Jazz Coleman warned about this sort of stuff happening, and they said that there are a lot of very large moneyed interest in international banking and things like that that have reasons for this, and they support people like Wolfowitz and Cheney and Bush and all those guys. They supported Aramco and the creation of Saudi Arabia. They supported the creation of Israel, all these types of things. Now, you know, whether those conspiracy guys are involved and they, you know, we were involved in trying to start the UN and they had all these plans and they helped fund, you know, there are a lot of conspiracy theories about, actually it's not even conspiracy theories, about certain moneyed interests like Henry Ford and others that helped back the Rothschilds. In fact, I think Hitler was an illegitimate son of one of the Rothschilds. But anyway, so there's a lot of that conspiracy history stuff, and some of it is historically accurate. But regardless of that, as a libertarian who understands political economics, these sorts of things, it wouldn't matter to me whether it was some nefarious plot, some, you know, hidden agenda, or it was a bunch of politicians who thought they were doing the right thing and thought that they were somehow protecting the United States. They're not doing so, and it is immoral to enact some sort of foreign intervention, even if it's a declared war. But if you're a constitutionalist, there's no declared war. They haven't declared it in Iraq. They haven't declared it in Afghanistan. And they're not doing it here. Nobody's going to stop them, though. Didn't stop Bill Clinton from trying to distract people with the Monica Lewinsky thing. Didn't stop George Bush in Kuwait when they had bogus information, completely fabricated, completely made up about, and this is all documented, about babies being pulled out of incubators in Kuwait. I mean, it was false. It was absolutely false. And all the politicians repeated it. It was just Colin Powell was out there with photographs of things turned out to be completely different than what he was claiming they were. And so many Americans were rooked by this stuff. And what did it have to do with the United States security? They say, oh, well, they might be doing a suitcase nuke or that sort of thing. Nope. Now, in Syria, I guess they'll try to say that it could have something to do with them trying to sneak chemical agents in now, right? Would that be the constitutional rationale? Are we going to go that far? No way. Come on. Not a chance. Now, one of the things that also indicates to me that I should not trust the government is, as you heard in the top of the hour news, I want to make sure I get back to that, it was revealed just over the past 24, 36 hours that during the Iran-Iraq war, and I posted this on my Facebook page to our friend Tim Humphreys in Australia, the CIA facilitated Saddam Hussein's use of sarin gas and other agents on Iranian forces. This has now been revealed 20 years later. And they denied it. They denied it. So when we're talking chemical agents, the United States government and its various permutations and the people who have long-time careers there, they've already been involved with people who've used chemical agents on folks. So is it beyond the realm of possibility that if we look at this sequence of evidence that shows us the behavior of these people in the Middle East, the people on the United States government side, and we see what they've been doing, is it beyond the realm of possibility? Which is more believable? Now, hey, if somebody had some evidence that Assad had done that, he's a bad dude, okay? Yeah. He did something bad. That still wouldn't be a rationale for the United States government to go in. You know, and to mention Tim Humphreys again, Tim posed a question, which I thought was a very astute question. It's a devil's advocate time. Is there a moral case for Australia committing military resources to a proposed Syrian conflict? If we commit to Syria, he means we, the government, if the government commits to Syria, will the government of Australia encourage the American government to declare war, thus invoking the Geneva Convention's protections? So he's obviously looking at, you know, at least that might occur. And I said, well, buddy, first I should note that there can never be a moral case for any state committing military forces to anything. That's a moral case because it does so by forcing people to pay for it involuntarily. As a result, there is no moral choice being made by the people forced to pay, which negates any form of morality in the equation. As far as the strategy of the Aussie government declaring war and maybe pushing the United States government to abide by the Geneva Accords, I don't think it'll matter. We've got more to discuss, and then the regulatory state when we return. We roll along at Liberty Conspiracy Radio. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, your host, and thanks for being part of the gang. Oh, I need to open up the Skype line. Hold on a second. Let me see here. Yeah, I've got to do that. And if you want to Skype me, it's GARDNER.Goldsmith on Skype. That's GARDNER.Goldsmith on Skype. And let's get that Skype sound going if I can. Oh, it's already come up. Okay. Now, I want to continue discussing this Syria thing just to give you some more quick information. And then I want to go into the regulatory state, if I can. So, okay. Tim Humphries had mentioned, you know, would it be good for the Australian government to get involved? No, it wouldn't be good for the Australian government to get involved, even if it were to try to prompt the U.S. government to actually declare war and then conform to the Geneva Accords. It wouldn't happen. They still wouldn't conform to the Geneva Accords. But in addition to that, I want to play for you some information that I think is pretty key, and it comes from Alex Jones folks at the at their YouTube page. So let me just play this for you real quick as he brings in Paul Craig Roberts.
So this is big news up on Infowars.com, an explosive declaration. Syria's deputy foreign minister has now come out on record in declaring that the U.S., Britain, and France were instrumental in aiding the chemical attacks on Syria through a network of terrorists inside the country. And it's not just them. Even WorldNet Daily is saying that. And it was the same group that even Yahoo, 9 months or 8 months ago, reported on, yes, and showed the evidence that, yes, they staged the chemical attack. Also, folks, we have Anthony Gucciardi here with StoryLeak.com, his great site. He's lived in Austin a few years ago, does great work with Mike Adams of NaturalNews.com as well. And he said, hey, well, you know, I ought to come in and help out as a reporter. I said, you know, that's the exact idea I have. So he's teamed up with us as well. Man, this is big, and this is getting no attention, this Reuters report, but you went and found his full statement. Anthony, break this down for us.
Exactly. So do you remember when it was a conspiracy theory to say that we were working with the Syrian rebels to actually go in and launch the chemical attack or even working with Al-Qaeda? Well, now we've found not only this Reuters report, but there's a bunch of other reports from The Independent as well. Like, does Obama know he's fighting on Al-Qaeda's side? So it's now 100% admitted.
And that's on Drudge. That's going to really make the globalists mad.
Yes, exactly. But check out this report. So this one now from Reuters, the headline is actually deceptive. It says, it doesn't even talk about in the headline how we're actually aiding the Al-Qaeda terrorists.
But it
talks about how Europe is next. But in the first paragraph, as I report on InfoWars, and it was up on StoryLeak as well, basically what's going on is this foreign official from Syria said not only did the U.S. aid the Al-Qaeda terrorist who carried out these chemical attacks, but he went to the U.N. immediately and showed them all of the information, and they disregarded it. He went straight to the U.N.
And now we learn, Kerry said, do not look at that. You're ordered to not look at it.
And now we know why.
Boy, this is so obvious.
It is so obvious. And let me show you something else. This Yahoo report from January of 2013. Is this, you know, are they psychic or what? Check out how they reference InfoWars. It says, U.S.-backed plan to launch chemical weapon attack on Syria. Blame it on Assad government. That's from Yahoo earlier this year. The Obama administration gave green signal to a chemical weapons attack plan in Syria that could be blamed on Assad's regime and in turn spur international military action in the devastated country, leaked documents have shown. I linked up to that article in Yahoo News. That's the number one website in the world. They just beat out Google. The number one trafficked website in the whole world, the biggest news site, the biggest search engine, whatever, says U.S.-backed plan to launch chemical weapon attack on Syria. So now it is not only admitted, the mainstream media was forced to cover it, and that's what we call headline bombing. And as it turns out, it's 100% accurate, the chemical weapons attack on Syria to launch
war. And then the jihadis are so out of control, they videotape themselves doing it, and WorldNet Daily's covering it.
Yeah, in fact, you know what, before I even get to Paul Craig Roberts, I want to go now to Charleston Voice. Charleston Voice, you know, up and down. Sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. But if you go there right now, it's Chaz Voice. It's a Blogspot. It's chazvoice.blogspot.com. They've got some of the video footage, and you know, it's up to you to decide whether or not this is propaganda on the Syrian side, you know, that sort of thing. But again, even, you know, this is sort of like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, because even if you were to say, well, I believe Assad or I believe the Obama administration, even though they don't have any evidence, they should just go. The question is, should people have their money taken from them. As I was saying to Tim, is there a justifiable rationale to do this? Is there a moral case for any state? No, there is never a moral case that can be made for any state committing military forces to anything, because it does so by forcing people to pay for it involuntarily. As a result, there is no moral choice being made by the people forced to pay, and that negates any form of morality in the equation. As far as the strategy goes, well, who knows? But if you go to Charleston Voice, it's chazvoice.blogspot.com. I'm going to scroll up. There's a ton of stuff here. And this one, let's see. In fact, Jerome Corsi wrote a lot of this. He says, as the U.S. considers a response to what it calls a chemical weapon attack by Syria's Bashar al-Assad regime that killed hundreds of civilians, reliable Middle Eastern sources say they have evidence the culprits actually were the rebel forces trying to take over the government. Secretary of State John Kerry, hello, John Kerry, Vietnam hero, accused the Assad government Monday of covering up the use of chemical weapons in, quote, a cowardly crime and a moral obscenity. Oh, I'm sure you know all about morality. That shocked the world's conscience. The world's conscience. Yes, nothing like group speak. Kerry claimed the Obama administration had undeniable evidence that the Assad government was culpable in the use of chemical weapons on civilians in his August 21st attack on Damascus suburbs. Interesting, because before he said that, the British spokesman said, we might never be able to get actually any evidence at all. Yes, we've bombed everything. Reports that the Obama administration is considering a military strike against the Assad government continued to circulate Monday. Meanwhile, UN weapon inspectors in Syria were fired upon by snipers as they attempted to investigate the site of the August 21st attack. Now, remember, that's in Syrian-controlled area. That's controlled by the government. Assad has rejected charges that his government forces used chemical weapons as preposterous and completely politicized. Which, you know, he's like, why would I do that? Why would I do that now? That's insane. It's a suicide warrant there. It's a death warrant, you know. I'm be signing my own death warrant. He argues Syrian forces were in the targeted area. Quote, how is it possible that any country would use chemical weapons or any weapons of mass destruction in an area where its own forces are located? Assad asked in the interview with Izvestia, according to a translation provided by Syria's official news agency and published by the LA Times. This is preposterous. These accusations are completely politicized and come on the back of the advances made by the Syrian army against the terrorists. And this is what's very interesting. Paul Craig Roberts notes that Russia and China blocked U.S. flyovers. And without the U.S. flyovers, the rebels that the U.S. government has been backing by shipping weapons through Saudi Arabia and evidently Qatar, they were losing. And so they stepped this up. This is what the speculation is. They stepped this up to try to allow for flyovers so the United States government could try to pound Assad's regime and try to help these rebels that they want to get into power. So there's all sorts of other stuff in here. I don't know if we'll continue on this in the next segment or not. We'll see. We'll see. I've got so much. Hey, if you get the opportunity, please go to my friend's website. He is our friend. He is Ferb. He is the man behind the Freedom Book Club. And he's cool. So if you go to Freedom Book Club, you will be cool, too. See? This is how it works. Ah, yeah. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. I go to the website, so I think I could be cool. All right. Yeah. Hey, if you want to reach me, Skype line's open. It's GARDNER.Goldsmith on Skype. And, .Goldsmith on Skype. Okay. Oh, hey. That music is from The Horrors. And I've got more music coming up in just a minute. I do want to mention to you, if you go to the Liberty Conspiracy website right now, you'll see Ferb's great blog, and it is entitled John McCain and the War Pigs Descend on Syria. It's excellent. He did a fantastic job, and I'm just so pleased that Ferb is part of the conspiracy out there. He's a good dude. And just to give you the intro, he wrote, and he mentioned some of this, which will be in part of the podcast that I hopefully get to release tomorrow. This is for At Liberty Conspiracy. And remember, freedombookclub.com. The other evening, when I was traveling home from work, I heard a recording of Black Sabbath's War Pigs on the radio. That in itself is freaking cool for... See, he's got this really cool radio station in Salt Lake City. It's really, really cool. Anyway, I was literally moved to tears, he says. You must be thinking that I'm mental to cry over something that kicks ass as much as that song. Well, before I began my homeward commute, I read that people calling themselves the government of the United States are going to launch cruise missiles into Syria. Will launching cruise missiles at the people calling themselves the government of Syria make the situation better for the people that are not in the service of the people calling themselves the government of Syria? I hardly think so. So, in order to force the people calling themselves the government of Syria from using chemical weapons against those other people in Syria, the people calling themselves the government of the United States are apparently intent on using cruise missiles to force the government of Syria to stop killing those certain other people in Syria. On the website, he has a terrific, wonderful picture of John McCain with members of the Al-Nusra Front that were caught with sarin gas in Turkey. Great. He writes, it's not like John McCain calling himself a person in the service of the government of the United States wasn't over in Turkey not too long ago, meeting with Al-Qaeda operatives. Al-Qaeda is just one of a host of factions using deadly force in the armed uprising against the people calling themselves the government of Syria. And he's got even more dramatic stuff in this, and I really hope you'll check this out. He's got some pictures in here with some captions and things like that on them that are just going to blow you away. So for great work. Okay, now in this freewheeling radio extravaganza, I also want to thank Gary Vago for listening, and so many other guys who are just, you know, good people who check us out. I really appreciate it. Shelley and Nathan and Scott. Scott, thank you so much. You guys are just good people. I really appreciate what you do. And on the podcasts, you know, everybody who helps and listens, appreciate that too. So, yes, there's a lot of you guys. So now I want to go into, if I can, let's see. I want to go into a couple other pieces. Here's a little song from The Damned. It's called Sick of Being Sick. Yeah. This is from their Peel session in 1977. John Peel, BBC Radio.
Peel all the time, just get outside. Party's only just begun. I took a lot of dreaming, but I want to scream, you know. Go and have some fun. The way out in the city full of dust and makes a little sea like a sin. I better kick some ass. Yeah, we're fast. I might as well give in. Sick of being sick. Sick of being sick.
You know, the life force that courses through these guys, through so many punk bands that really do have talent and have something to say, beats out any politician, any group of politicians through any form of history. The creativity, the energy, the focus on what they want to do and what they want to say to people is so honest and awesome. All right. So let's go over now to the healthcare story, shall we? Yes, the health fascism law. Yeah, you're going to be sick of being sick pretty soon. All right, here it is. Ah, yes, indeedy. Here's the headline. IRS issues final rules on Obamacare's individual mandate. Ah, this one from Reuters, Kim Dixon, and Patrick Temple hyphen West. Oh, very good. I love that. You know he's got to be British, right? Patrick Temple West. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, here it comes from Reuters. As I've mentioned before, also a great song by Wire. Here it is. The Internal Revenue Service issued final rules on Tuesday for the individual mandate of President Barack Obama's health care overhaul, one of the most contentious elements of the U.S. law set to go into effect next year. Now, can we just pause there for a minute? Can we just try to figure out how it is that people who vote can support politicians who will put forward a bill that they admittedly didn't read, as we heard. You have to, well, we've got to pass the bill to know what's inside the bill.
I see. Thank you very much. That's very nice. That's great.
I got to swing the fist to know how hard it's going to hit your face.
Okay. That's very good. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Good logic.
Okay. The word mandate. Yeah. Kind of, does that sort of like set off any alarm bells for those people? Mandate. Is it kind of like completely contrary to any concept of individual freedom in any way at all? Yes, it is completely contrary. It is, amazingly. But what they do is they go through these weird mental gymnastics. This weird rhetorical leisure domain. And they do it in their heads, too. They believe, in many cases, because I've spoken to these guys. I've had long, interminable conversations with these people. Like, oh, my God, man, I can't. Oh, my God. It's a religion to these people. They will not. Well, in some cases, I don't want to be so critical. Let's just look at it this way. There is a difference, in some cases, between what the left statists, and in some cases right statists, but let's just concentrate on the left statists now with their health care thing, the health fascism law. What they believe is force, and what is force by a person onto another person, right? They come up with all these sort of shibboleths, these straw men, about how, well, there has to be force applied. This is one group of them. There has to be force applied because there's already all this corporate and business force that's being applied. So people are being exploited, you know, right? Now, I will refer you to the debate that I had with Sophia on Marxism, because I try to get into a little bit of the exploitation theory of Marx, because this goes right back to Marx, this strain of this thinking, okay? By the way, the name of the strain, that's the name of our fake band that we fooled all the, well, not all, but tons of people at BU to think that there was this really cool band they had to get into, The Strain. I was Glem, their guitarist. That's G-L-E-M, as in massively awesome. So, anyway, so there's another faction. So they think that there needs to be this force, because it actually, by using this force, it provides freedom for people who otherwise would be getting shafted by the businesses. So it's this countervailing force that's actually for your own good, because you wouldn't be able to wield it yourself, you see. And, of course, it only comes through taxing people and through, of course, mandating that people buy something. Now, we'll return. We'll look at the other side of the statist leftist mentality as well. roll along, Liberty Conspiracy Radio. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, and you can find our Liberty Conspiracy Facebook page. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's Gard Goldsmith on Twitter. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and libertyconspiracy.com. The podcasts are available at Podomatic and at iTunes. I hope you'll download them. We've got a big one up there already. We've got another one planned for tomorrow, which features really, really great conversation that I had with Ferb. And we went over the time of the radio program to record more that would be available to the podcast audience. So thank you very much for doing so. Don't forget that the podcasts are still available in China. So, you know, I don't know how many of you guys will be traveling to China, but I know two members of our conspiracy travel internationally. And many thanks to Stephen Smith for tipping us off that the Chinese government has banned the Liberty Conspiracy website. But you can still get the podcasts, evidently. And there are certain hotels, I guess, that use Japanese or Hong Kong ISPs. So you might have a little bit better chance. All right. Now, just rubbing my eyes again. This is, like, so bizarre, man. My brother and I were doing some work today. It's like, man, holy moly, man. Out of control. Okay, now, I want to get back to this health medical fascism thing. I was making the point a little bit earlier. I only got a little bit into this article, and I had to bring up, you know, how is it possible that leftists can look at the word mandate, that the government is mandating people to take a particular action, right? And this is one of the things. I pointed this out in a script that I wrote one time, and it's actually available. I made it a text version of it available in Live Free or Die in my book. I'll turn it into its own document. You can, you know, read it on, you know, download it at Amazon or something like that. But it's a script that I wrote called The Jewel Box of God. Originally, I was going to do it for the Outer Limits television show, but never got made. And so, it's about these guys who are mining a comet. And just to let you know what the concept is, that when they land on the comet, they only have a certain period of time. They have to get this ore. They're using microwave arrays to melt the frozen carbon dioxide ice and free up the minerals, which is called Oxenet, and which is the name of a friend of mine backwards. Oxenet, yeah. So. Oxenet, yeah. So anyway, one of the guys, they discovered that there's an alien lander that's already there, and that there are dead aliens inside this lander. And so one of the guys is like, you know, we have a responsibility to you know, tell people this stuff, and so he says, you know, we've got to do this. And he's like, nah, you know, this is a private mission. You make your choice, but we have a responsibility to the people who hired us. And, we can't be forced by anybody. You know, the government's not going to tell us to do this stuff. And the guy's like, well, why don't you do what the government says? He goes, look, on a principled level, if you look at the original idea of the government, I'm going a little bit more in depth here, but, you know, I did it through dialogue there. The idea is that the government's supposed to be there, supposedly, to stop you from attacking other people. Now, there's a bit of a mirage there, because in order to create the police force we've often mentioned to stop people from aggressing against each other, the government aggresses against you by taking your stuff or threatening to put you in jail if you don't give some of your money to the government. So the government is itself a predator. But the mirage under which people operate is supposedly that the government is only supposed to be there to stop you from hurting each other. It's not supposed to be there to force you to do things, even though, of course, it forces you to pay. That's the one thing that they constantly overlook. So this mandate, the individual mandate, is something that runs completely contrary to all of the traditional concepts of government, Lockean natural rights-based government, that go back to the 1600s, the mid-1600s, of John Locke's Second Treatise of Government. Now, what's interesting about that is that this mandate that they have is something that some people think is necessary. And they think that, well, you know, you should be forced to do this. Really? Yeah. Because there are bad actors out there in the corporate world, and they'll make you do things. Oh, I see. Okay. So we mentioned that, but there's another side, which is that, well, nature, You see, you got to fight against nature. So you got to, you know, the government has to force everybody to do it because it's for everybody's own good. Just quickly to tell you about this mandate. So that's the other side of it that the left statists use. Here's the information. Then I want to get into something very quickly from Lysander Spooner. Great piece of history. A centerpiece of the Affordable Care Act is a requirement that all individuals carry some minimum health insurance or pay a tax. Well, the information is out now. What's the tax going to be? Here it is. The new system aims, supposedly, to provide insurance through state marketplaces. Oh, well, we already had marketplaces, and they've been destroyed by many state regulations. Yeah, called pre-existing condition clauses, guaranteed issue, you know? And subsidies, they force the companies to issue to people with pre-existing conditions. And they will subsidize tens of millions of Americans who lack it. If individuals choose not to carry insurance, and this is what we've been saying all along, and here is the evidence right here, just to prove that we've been right ever since before this thing was even passed, they are subject to a penalty starting at, get this, $95 per person per year, or 1% of income in 2014, whichever is greater, and eventually reaching $695 per person, or 2.5% of income, by 2016. So, what does that do? As we have said over and over and over again, the penalty is so much lower than the lowest priced individual policy that people will opt to, the young people will opt not to get their health insurance until after they get sick, because the government is forcing guaranteed issue to issue to people with pre-existing conditions. So the insurance companies will have to issue this stuff, and then people will get their insurance after they get sick. So they'll pay the $95 and save $3,000 a year. See? They've set it up. They've known. The government guys have known this all along. This goes back to the 90s. They've been planning this stuff. If you want to get up, get live free or die, you'll see how I go through the history of government intervention in the healthcare market. It is absolutely unbelievable. And people seem to think, well, the government said it's okay. This is the way that it should go. Oh, really? Let's hear from Lysander Spooner. Lysander Spooner, the great anarchist who wrote the terrific book, essay, that's a pamphlet essentially, called No Treason, the Constitution of No Authority. As quoted in another very good book, The Hologram of Liberty by Kenneth W. Royce, also known as Boston Tea Party, on page, 87, I believe. Actually, section 8, part 7. He has funky sections in this. Here is something. Spooner. A man is nonetheless a slave because he is allowed to choose a new master once in a term of years. The right of absolute and irresponsible domination is the right of property, and the right of property is the right of absolute irresponsible domination. The two are identical. It's a very logical man. The one necessarily implying the other. Neither can exist without the other. If, therefore, Congress have that absolute and irresponsible law-making power, which the Constitution, according to their interpretation of it, gives them, it can only be because they own us as property. If they own us as property, they are our masters, and their will is our law. If they do not own us as property, they are not our masters, and their will is of no authority over us. But these men who claim and exercise this absolute and irresponsible dominion over us dare not be consistent and claim either to be our masters or to own us as property. They say that they are our only servants, agents, attorneys, and representatives. But this declaration involves an absurdity, a contradiction. No man can be my servant, agent, attorney, or representative and be at the same time uncontrollable by me and irresponsible to me for his acts. For still another reason, they are neither our servants, agents, attorneys, nor representatives. And that reason is that we do not make ourselves responsible for their acts. If a man is my servant, agent, or attorney, I necessarily make myself responsible for all his acts done within the limits of the power I have entrusted to him. But no individual who may be injured in his person or property by acts of Congress can come to the individual electors and hold them responsible for their acts of their so-called agents and response and representatives. Which is why they get away so much with going after foreigners with drones and mandating that people at home do things, whether it be in their business or now their personal lives. It would have come to this eventually. Hey, thank you for listening. We'll see you at the website. Remember, libertyconspiracy.com.
Then I kissed her with a kiss that could only mean goodbye.